Luke 22. I began reading with verse 7, Luke 22, 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. The Lord Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat." They said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" He said unto them, "Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. You shall say to the goodman of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles sat down with him. And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." And as our Lord and his disciples gathered in the upper room to keep this last Passover, this is the last Passover, because Christ would die as our Passover, and the Passover lamb having been shed, having been slain and shed his blood, there's no more need to eat the Passover. And as they gathered that day in the upper room to observe the Passover, we come here tonight to observe the Lord's table, which is commanded by our Lord and taught to the early church by the apostles. And as far as I can see in the scriptures, as far as I can determine, our Lord gave to his church only two ordinances. Only two. All of these other religious celebrations, even Sabbath day, Easter, Christmas, Lent, whatever holiday you may name, it's not ordained of Christ, nor is it given to the church to observe. There's two ordinances: baptism, the Lord's Supper. Our Lord gathered his disciples about him before he ascended back to the Father. And he said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples and baptize them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all things I commanded you." That is the ordinance of baptism. And this ordinance, the Lord's table, when they had eaten the Passover, then he took the bread and the wine and instituted, as after they'd eaten the last Passover, he instituted the first Lord's table. Because he is our Passover sacrifice for us. And he said, "Now this do." He told them to baptize believers. And he said, "This do in remembrance of me." And this first table of the Lord in Luke 22 gives us really all we need to know about the Lord's table in order to observe it as he commanded us to observe it. That's this right here in these verses is all you need to know about the Lord's table, to observe it as he commanded it. And I bring to your attention four things. Those who participated. Secondly, the host who served it. Thirdly, the elements. Fourthly, the reason. The participators, the host, the elements, and the reason. That's all you need to know. First of all, the participators. Verse 14. When the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Those were the people in the room. Only his apostles. Those present were his disciples. Men who knew him, men who loved him, men who believed him. They were there. Now, they were not perfect men. Not by any means. They were not men without sin. But they were men who believed Christ. And they were men who loved Christ. Peter was there. And Peter, in just a few hours, would betray him, would deny him, and say, I don't know this man. And yet he's here at the Lord's table. But he believed Christ, he loved Christ. Thomas was there, and in just a few days, Thomas would doubt his resurrection. A disciple said, the Lord's risen. He said, I don't believe it. I won't believe it unless I put my hand in his side. James and John were there. Those are the two fellows that wanted to call down fire from heaven on people that didn't follow with them. These disciples all were there who had spent time debating about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And every man there, before this evening was over, would forsake him and flee. So those who participated were people who loved him and who believed him. They weren't perfect. That's what you were preaching a while ago. But they believed Christ. They were men of faith. And I remind you of that to encourage all who believe here tonight, all who love him, all who discern his broken body and shed blood, all who rest only in Christ, not in our own righteousness and works, but who rest in him, come to the table. As Brother Scott said, if I'm fit to come to Christ, I'm fit to come to the table. Well, preacher, what did Paul mean when he instructed believers in regard to the Lord's table to examine themselves and so let them eat? He meant just what he said, to examine ourselves, to find this one characteristic, I believe. That's right. I examine my mind and determine, do I know him? Yes, I know him. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. I know him, for the Son of God came and gave me an understanding that I may know him. And the true God. This is the true God. This is eternal life. We're told throughout Scripture to examine ourselves. This is a daily practice, whether we be in the faith. We're told to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. So examine yourself. Secondly, I examine not only my mind to see if I know him, I examine my heart. Do I believe him? I do believe him. Scripture says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord and believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. I examine my commitment. As Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him. So other refuge have I known. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, I leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust on Christ is stayed. All my help from Christ I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wings. Imperfect men in themselves, but perfect in Christ, have assembled there with him to take the Lord's table. Secondly, the host. It's the Lord's table. He, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. The Lord Jesus Christ observed the Passover with them. Look back there at he said to ask the goodman of the house, verse 11. Look at this, verse 11. You shall say unto the goodman of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He was eating the Passover as a man, just like they were eating it. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world in the human body, flesh and blood, born of a woman, under the law. And Moses commanded all the Jews to keep the Passover every year. And Jesus Christ, as a man, suffered to be sold to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus Christ, as a man, sat down with these Jewish brethren, the brethren were flesh and blood, and he took the same, that he might redeem them. And he ate that Passover. He kept the Sabbath day with them. He was circumcised with them. He did all these things. He observed all the feasts with them. But when he ate that Passover with them for the last Passover, then he gave them the Lord's table. He was the host. That's right. When he served the Lord's table, notice it says, he took the bread and gave it to them and said, you eat it. You take the wine and drink it. This is my body. What they just got through eating was the Passover lamb that Moses slew. They're eating now God's Passover lamb, and he's right there with them, giving it to them. That's right. And notice this now. It was in a house. It wasn't in a cathedral. It wasn't in the temple. It wasn't in some special place. It was a common, everyday house, a common upper room, a common meal, which might be served anywhere. Secondly, it was common food. It was bread. It was the unleavened bread that was already there. And it was wine already there that they had. Thirdly, the disciples were not kneeling. They were sitting. He sat down, verse 14, with his disciples. They were sitting down. They brought nothing to the table. Don't kneel before a man and take something out of his hand. They were sitting. They weren't kneeling. They brought nothing to the table. It says, and there were no robes. There were no officials. There was none elevated above another. Peter didn't serve this. He didn't touch it. The Lord gave it to him. He didn't prepare it. The Lord prepared it. It says he took the cup and blessed it and gave it. He took the bread and broke it and blessed it and gave it. And he said, this now is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. Thirdly, the elements. The elements. Bread and wine. Unleavened bread and wine. And this bread and wine show his incarnation. He said, this is my body. God doesn't have a body. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, God is spirit. They that worship God worship him in spirit and truth. But Christ Jesus, to be our Redeemer, God gave him a body. Thou hast prepared for me a body of flesh and blood and bones, just like you have, and blood, just like you have. So he became a man, and this presence of this bread and this wine is his body. Secondly, the bread and the wine show his holiness. It was unleavened bread. There were, when the Jews observed the Passover, before the Passover was observed, that house had to be cleansed completely of any leaven. Leaven is a type of evil. Leaven is what rots. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so they get out of that house everything that has any leaven. And when he came to this house, this Jewish house, you can be sure at that Passover time there's no leaven in that house. And this bread is unleavened bread. It does not rot. It does not decay. It does not spoil. It has no leaven. And it pictures our Lord's perfect body. Perfect body. This bread doesn't represent my body, because my body is a rotten body. It's withered and dying, but it represents his. This wine, the reason we take wine at the Lord's table, I wouldn't take it any other way, because the wine is pure. Grape juice defiles. It's 2 or 3 days sitting back there, it's defiled. This stays there months and months and months and months, the wine does, because it's pure. Our Lord Jesus Christ has to be pure to be my representative, to be my sin offering, to be my Savior. He has to be perfectly holy. Thirdly, this bread and wine represents his suffering. How was this bread made? It grew in the field, and they cut it down. And they took it to the mill, and they ground it to powder. And then they baked it in an oven, a hot, awesome oven. And our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth a man, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, went to the heat of the oven of God's wrath. I thirst. Our Lord suffered. Oh, how he suffered. Just like that bread, pounded, baked, burned, and then broken. The wine, how's it prepared? Take the grapes, squash them, squeeze the blood out of them, stomp on them. That's the way it. And notice this, the bread and the wine is separate. You don't dip that wine, you don't put them together. When you separate the blood from the body, death. He died for us. You take the bread, his body, broken, no blood, it's gone. His blood, and then you take the blood. This is my body, my blood, separated, suffering. The bread and his wine, bread and wine show forth substitution. This is my body broken instead of your body. This is my blood shed instead of your blood, shed under the judgment and wrath of God instead of yours. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ. There is no judgment to them who are in Christ. We're in the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. And it's all over because he finished it. Substitution. And then the bread and the wine is eaten. It's received in us. We receive Jesus Christ in us. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Christ is not a creed. Christ is our life. I am the resurrection and the life. He's my life. He's my sanctification. He's my righteousness. He said, you eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you have eternal life, because we receive life into us. It's not sprinkled on us. It's not held by us. It's not worn by us. It's received in us. You take this bread and this wine. In that same manner, you have received Christ. Receive it in your heart, in your life. What's the reason for the table? It says here in verse 19, listen. He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you, broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He didn't say this do in order to be saved. This do because I saved you. In remembrance of what I did to save you. He didn't say this do in order to make you holy and to sanctify you. He said this do in remembrance of him who is your holiness and your sanctification. He didn't say this do in order to make you feel religious. this do as a ritual or ceremony at a certain given time. No, sir, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death for you in remembrance of me. What is it to remember Christ? Well, you can't remember someone you never knew, can you? We remember him because we know him. We know him as our Redeemer. By one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. By this man's obedience, we were made righteous. That's how I remember him. Perfect obedience. I remember him as my substitute and sin offering. By Christ, we have the atonement. He, God the Father, hath made him, the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for me and you, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He's our sin offering. He's our atonement. I remember him as my mediator. There's one God. I know that. And there's one mediator, one high priest between God and men. And that's the man Christ Jesus. I remember him as my coming Lord. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would tell you. And I go and prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So, how often and how long are we going to take this supper? Till he comes. Till he comes. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do, as a believer, as one who loves Christ, who remembers him as your kinsman redeemer, as your substitute and sin offering, as your great high priest, as your life and love and hope, and as your coming Lord. You do this till he comes.